Welcome to our morning show on WRCO Radio, a Labor Day edition of a talk with the mayor on the morning show. So we say good morning to the city of Richland Center Mayor, Mr. Todd Coppernell. How are you?
Awesome, Phil. Thanks for having me on again.
Great to have you in the studio with us. The months go by pretty fast. Here we are, almost back to school and a lot of things going on.
Back to school, and you can feel that sort of autumn chill a little bit in the air. And I noticed the corn stalks starting to change the color a little bit, too. Yeah, it is that time, and I guess that means we probably should remind folks to slow down a little bit and look around. There will be kids walking around, school buses, putting the stop signs out again to pick kids up, drop them off. Safety is the point. Please pay attention as the kids get back into school.
Mm-hmm. No doubt, and they'll be running tomorrow, getting those buses going. Looking back on the month of August, since the last time you were here, some fun things happened. The murder mystery in downtown Richland Center, what did you hear about that?
A lot of good things, all positive things. People really enjoyed that event, and I'm glad they did. I thought it was a really fun idea when the folks at Crime Stoppers told me several months ago, actually, that they wanted to do it. And they put it together really well. I thought it was very well organized and well run. And anyone who's reached out to me has told me how much they enjoyed it. I had a couple of downtown business owners tell me it brought a lot of people into the downtown. They were grateful and excited for that. So my comment on it is it seems to have really gone over well, and I hope they continue to do that.
You talk about thinking outside the box. Now, that's nothing that I would ever think of.
Right.
But it brought in, I think, a group of people that really gets into that kind of thing. And I was downtown and saw them looking at the different stores. It probably plants a seed. Maybe they'll come back sometime, right?
Exactly. And I'm the same way. I wouldn't have thought of an event like that one, but that's okay. That's why you need more than one person with good ideas, right? And we've got that. And it did bring, I think it brought out a group that we maybe don't see here every day because it's an event we don't have here every day. And that's, I love that aspect of it too, to expose our community to different people, people that aren't here all the time. And that was another thing that people have said back to me, is that it did do that. And it gave people maybe something fresh, something new to think about and do. And that contributed to the participation. There were a lot of people involved in this.
Well, the buzz on the street has been about the prospect of a new hotel or motel. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, Cobblestone Inn. The city council had heard from two different hotel chains that expressed interest in building here in the city after a hotel feasibility study was commissioned by the city and a recommendation came back to put up a 54-room hotel in Richland Center. And so two groups had responded to a request for proposal. Cobblestone was one, Grand Stay was the other one, and the council and myself, we heard live presentations from both groups, in fact, multiple times, and a lot of phone conversations with both, and they both made a formal presentation. Several older persons visited a hotel from each chain. I spent a night in a Cobblestone. Several people went to Grand Stay, and the council then had a choice and voted to pursue Cobblestone and then directed the city administrator and economic development director to attempt to negotiate with Cobblestone to reach an agreement on where they would build, what land would be used, et cetera, and down the list of everything it will take. And they've done that, and the council on Tuesday night, tomorrow night, will hear that and will be given the opportunity, should they choose to make a decision at that time on whether or not the city will pursue the construction of a new Cobblestone hotel in downtown Richland Center.
As you drive by the lot, at least I did that, I was trying to picture what it would look like.
Yeah, and actually, if you just, the best way to do it, there's two sides to this. If you want to see an example of what Cobblestone builds, just Google Cobblestone Inn. And this would be the Main Street, because they have multiple designs, layouts. The Main Street design is what they're proposing for Richland Center, so take a look there. But as you drive up Orange Street, so if you were coming into town, let's say from WRCO, and so now we're northbound on Orange Street, right as you cross Seminary and go past the Quick Trip on your right, they'll have the Phoenix Center with its banquet hall will be there on your left. And this proposed site is right there to the north on the east side, so right next to Quick Trip. If you drive past Quick Trip headed toward the park, this would be on that next lot right there, sort of the corner, I guess, would be Court and Orange. It won't fill the whole block, but obviously the majority of it. And again, the proposed hotel is a 54-room design right in the downtown, which as we continue to look to the future, you can see a lot of positives that have already happened on Orange Street, especially if you're my age or older and you remember what Orange Street once looked like. And you already see AutoZone, Phoenix Center, Our House, Dialysis, Center Pharmacy, Quick Trip, TechCom building with the credit union, and with Wacker Chiropractic. We got the Robin's Nest down there, going down the list of businesses that have built and located down there. Well, there's obviously some more work that can be done and some more development possibilities. And the city owns this land that is next to the Quick Trip, and the council has decided that the use, a great use of it, would be to put a brand new hotel down there. I concur. It's a, if you're going to do a new hotel, I think the location's great. And then it's just, you know, up to the council to make a choice and then cobblestone to get it done if they get the green light.
The naysayers will say, we need something worse than we need a hotel. But I mean, if you've ever tried to book a room, some of the busy weekends, we need more lodging, don't we?
We do. Bring Marty Richards down here and ask him if this community, which is the city of Richland Center, but the greater Richland community, has ever lost potential events because we didn't have enough rooms. He's going to spend the next 15 minutes reading them off. We lose events consistently because we don't have enough rooms. And I've actually had people call me and say things like, Todd, I was back for a funeral. Do you know I had to stay in Reedsburg? That really happened. Todd, I was home for a class reunion, or I was home for a wedding and I had all kinds of trouble. What's going on? Why aren't there more available rooms in Richland Center? That happens. That really happens. I get calls like that. So we didn't just say, well, we think so. We commissioned a professional organization to conduct a hotel feasibility study, basically financial review of whether or not an additional hotel makes sense for your community, so that you don't jump into something that's not going to be a go, right? Whatever it is, you should think before you act. And we've certainly done that. The boxes have been checked and a lot of thought has gone into this in choosing which hotelier it would be, in working out what could be an agreeable arrangement to get it done, in choosing the lot, in the city becoming the owners of that lot because we weren't. A lot of this has been done. It's been about 2 years. These projects that people really hear the final details on when it's time to vote, oftentimes, year and a half, 2 years, that's not uncommon from start to finish to actually get it done. And it takes persistence, it takes teamwork. But more than that, it just takes slowing down a little bit and making sure you're doing what's best for the community as a whole, for the greater good. In this case, I believe we are. I absolutely believe that we are. And we'll see Tuesday at the city council meeting down at City Hall, 6:30 p.m. That's when the council will hear this and they will have the opportunity to either make a decision, have a vote on it, or perhaps request more information. We'll see which way that goes.
On Friday, there was news, groundbreaking for Neighborhood Housing Services for a new house, and that's always exciting.
Yeah, I'm really happy to see that. NHS, as a lot of people are aware, is going through a lot of change right now and sort of a little bit of a reboot, a little bit of a rebrand, some new people involved and sort of choosing their direction going forward. And this is their first project since some of that happened. And I'm excited for them and their efforts to move their organization forward, and also another new house in Richland Center. We certainly do not have too many of those, and we know about the need. It couldn't be more obvious to those of us who are involved in city government, and to see what's been a vacant lot for several years and had been home to a house, if that's the right way to say that, for a long time in the past. All the infrastructure was already there. It's in a residential neighborhood. It makes all the sense in the world, and NHS bought the lot and they've stepped up to get a house built. I definitely support that. Thank you, NHS, and I'm excited for when the time comes and the house is built. I'm excited to see who ends up living there.
Can you give us an update on Panorama Estates?
I can. Yep. So they've been down and met with our city department heads, and I heard personally from their excavator, and they have been working with the state on getting their blueprints finalized and approved. And then they did call in the locates, which would mean show me where water, sewer, electric, where the things in the ground are buried, to put up their fence, and I don't have a date, but in the very near future, I'm expecting a fence to be put up and work on the driveway to begin as they line up the labor and so forth to begin the actual construction of two apartment buildings of 46 units apiece up there by the existing building, Panorama Estates, across from the high school on the campus.
I know that people can tend to be skeptical because we've been hearing about this for a little while, but right. Sounds like it's going to be a done deal by the end of the year, at least starting the work on it. Then.
Absolutely. So there is a new agreement between the city and the builder. There are different investors involved now than there were the first time around. The expectation 100%, and believe me, city council knows this and so does the builder. The expectation 100% is for the beginning of construction of two new buildings in the very near future.
Well, we're going to get into fall here before too long. You're going to be looking at Color Fest, and you'll be wearing your Richland Center letter jacket for homecoming.
Well, yeah, I was literally, let me think about this, 75 pounds lighter when I graduated high school than I am now, and that's with recent weight loss. I don't think I have it anymore. I did for a long time. I did. You know what, though? I love that part. I don't look forward to winter. I know it's coming and I don't fret over it, but I don't look forward to it. Fall I like because there's something I really get out of life returning to that structure. Summer's great, vacations and all that sunlight that I love and everything. But when the schools start up again and structure comes back and the fall sports take off and you see people again that maybe were everybody was off doing their thing for the last 3 months, I really like that. And, you know, football season has started for the high schools now, and volleyball's going on and all this stuff. I really enjoy this time of year, and we do have a lot of festivals around here. We'll have Pumpkin Fest again, of course, all the homecomings and everything, and the Canyon of Lights and all these things that we do here. I think now, in this era, these next 2 months are probably the busiest time of the year on the local calendar. There's so many events in the area and so much fun. I mean, when this area with its natural beauty, watching the colors on the trees and getting out to the apple orchards and all that stuff, Kim and I really look forward to this time of year every year. And so feeling this little cool down in the weather, which, by the way, I'm not 12. It's going to get hot again. Come on. You know it.
When school gets back in session, it usually does. Yeah.
Yeah. About the time we think fall's here, it'll be hot and humid for 3 days. We know this. But feeling what we felt for about, 10 days, week or 10 days now, it kind of woke that up in me. That, hey, man, this is going to be a fun time of the year. I like it until the bottom drops out.
You and I both.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's inevitable. If you can push fall back at least like the first week of December, winter, then the winter is not so long, it seems like.
You know, and I'll say this too, compared certainly to my childhood. A lot of years, in recent years, we've had warmer than expected weather almost up to Veterans Day. You see people sitting in t-shirts at the drive-in movie in the third week of October. I've been one of them. And that never happened when Phil and I were kids. It just didn't. It was too chilly for sure. And you might have snow flurries. And you're sitting out there in 72 degrees, the 20th of October and going, wow, how'd that ever happen? Well, at least that's more normal now that we get, some warmer weather well into October, if not maybe the first week or so of November. And then, I always notice that this will be my sixth year attending the Veterans Day Assembly when we get there. And it's been right around there that the temperature really started to change every year that I've been the mayor, which this will be the sixth one.
Yeah, that's pretty typical, I think. Speaking of the outdoor, too, I know Tony and company, they're having movies, of course, for the last several years they've done this, but they've got plans all the way out through October, and I know they've got a class reunion night coming up on September 20th, too, so you may have to don the letter jacket for that night.
I hadn't heard that one. I'll have to call Tony. I had not heard that one.
If you have your senior picture, you get in for $2.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I'll. There's a cave up by Tower Hill. I think mine's in that. I'll go looking in there. I remember him knocking it into a stone tablet for me.
Okay.
I'll check for that. That sounds like a fun event.
Yeah, you bet. We're going to be there as well. We're going to be back with more on the morning show coming up here in a moment from WRCO. Mayor Todd is our guest on today's morning show. coming in on the holiday. We appreciate that very much, and talking about all the great things going on in the city of Richland Center. The Packers made quite the headlines last week, didn't they?
What a time we live in. The Micah Parsons trade, man, that thing was all over the internet for at least 48 hours before it actually happened. And it was weird watching these different outlets trying to leak the news and be first and scoop that thing. And some of them actually were credible and ended up having pertinent information that was proven to be accurate. But so many of them are just throwing darts. And it's amazing to see who wants to be an internet expert, right? Be careful what you wish for, right? Because the stuff that you tweet like that, that you throw out there, that you promise is going to happen, sometimes doesn't if you were pushing the envelope a little bit. But in this case, the Green Bay Packers traded for Micah Parsons, which is one of those things you just don't think is going to happen, and one of the very best defensive players of his time at age 26.
Yeah.
To be traded really to a rival. I know Packers fans pile on and remind the Cowboys that they once were rivals. It's been several decades now. But I will give them credit that in a prior time when the rainbow was in black and white and the Cowboys were relevant, they were in fact rivals for the Packers, and now their best defensive player is here. I didn't think I would see that.
Me either.
And I'm enjoying watching the reactions of fans now, because, you know, nobody knows what a trade like that will actually produce, right? It's just exciting to hear the name. Does that make the Packers better? It should, but there's no crystal ball. So watching Packers fans decide they will win the Super Bowl while Cowboys fans decide the sky has fallen, you know, and then they play the games. And then you see what it is. But what sports does that I enjoy, it's like the Brewers season and the Cubs right now. Maybe the best two teams in the same league are in the same division. Maybe at this time. And the same thing. The Brewers won 14 in a row and they couldn't be beaten. And then they lost 6 of 9 and the Cubs were winning. And then the Cubs couldn't be beaten when really neither thing was true. So on we go with the fall and winter sports.
It's a great diversion, that's for sure. Let's talk about, I think you wanted to give an update on the Lamont subdivision today.
Yeah, I do. I talked again to Ellen Evans quite a few times, actually, since the last time I was on the air. And they're making real good progress on that up there, working on what's got to be done is a new certified survey map. You can't build without it. We're getting into state law here. And that's coming. They've been working with the engineers to get that done. And then once that's done, then we can continue to move forward and move toward my expectation, again, remembering that the city council has appropriated $1.5 million of federal grant money toward the infrastructure. So a street, utility hookups, water, sewer, electric kind of stuff for 19 residential lots up there. So 19, this would be single family homes, not rentals, privately owned. Mike Lamont and Ellen Evans, also known as Ellen Keller here in this community, are the owners of the land, and they're the ones who brought the project to us. And they've been very committed to it. They've done everything we've asked them to. And I'm excited to see that move forward. So they've been working with an engineering firm and working on getting a new certified survey map, which we're about to have.
Things like that can change the population sign here in Richland Center one of these years.
You know, I hear about that constantly. People who live here now and people who did live here maybe even decades ago who say, well, how come Richland Center doesn't grow? How come we're so stuck within 100 either way to that 5,000 number, you know? Well, decisions like this to get Panorama, to get 19 houses on a hill, to go after some duplexes in town for the builder that wants to do that. You see NHS firing back up and breaking ground on a house. That's how you grow the population. You cannot grow population without homes for people to live in. So people would ask me, they still do, the chicken or the egg. Do we need new businesses or do we need new houses? Well, you're not going to get the new businesses without the new houses, because they're going to look at demographic trends and they're going to want to see population growth and they're going to want to see more young people than less. Okay? So every small city is going through the same thing. Ask Viroqua's mayor, he'll tell you. Ask Prairie du Chien about what's happened at their school district with all the program cuts. Same thing. Boscobel, drive down Wisconsin Avenue, which they call Main Street over there, and look at how many businesses aren't there anymore. It's the same thing, and we're all in it. So doing this work to try to reverse that trend, and that's what that's why for more than 5 years now, I've banged away at the need for housing and the challenges we have trying to get it here. And that's why we're moving forward on some of these initiatives for housing. And I'm very grateful to Mike and Ellen for bringing this to us. I mean, they bought the land, Mike did, and came to us and said, we're going to do this because Ellen was raised here. And Mike's had family here for decades. A lot of folks that played football in the area will know the name Jim Harris, and Mike is the late Coach Harris's brother-in-law. And so he had a tie here. His sister still lives here. And of course, Ellen was raised here. Her parents, Bon and Phyllis, who had Burnham Jewelers, and she said the same thing, whatever, we're going to do it. And they've been wonderful. I got to give them points every time. They've been wonderful. So I expect that to happen. Timelines, well, if everything goes right and we don't get any hiccups, the plan is to get the street put in at some point over the summer next year. And the way that typically works, the way the paving companies bid the jobs, line up the labor, and get out here, that means it probably won't be completed until like September or even October of next year. And that's assuming no snags along the way with the engineering and so on. But assuming that it all goes okay, my expectation, more of a hope at this point, is that street is ready late summer, early fall next year. So then what they'll do then is they'll have 19 lots to list for sale. And Ellen tells me she has several people that have called and said, I want to know when you're going to go because I want to buy one and get a house. And several people have already heard me on the radio, heard her somewhere in town, and reached out to her and said, how do I get on your list? I want one. So excited about that.
That's very big news.
It is very big news, and it's been a great deal of work, and all of these things are. And you talk about a hotel, and you talk about Panorama, and you talk about houses, and you talk about duplexes, and you talk about chasing this business or that one. Yeah, well, we have, and we are, and we will, because the only way you're going to get, I've said this so many times, the phrase net new construction, which is prescribed by state law. If we don't get new construction in the community, we don't get additional money to run the community with, absent tax increases. And we don't want to do that. So you pursue growth every chance you can, and you do your best. And we're just, we have to do it by ourselves and for ourselves out here. And when I say we, I mean everybody that can hear my voice. We're an hour from a city. Look where Madison is. Look where La Crosse is. We're roughly an hour from the interstate. What that means is the world doesn't come here and say, pretty please, let me build something great for you that's going to double your tax base and no one will have any stress. It's not going to happen. We have to go get it. We have to pursue it, reel it in, and get it done. And that takes people like Mike and Ellen, and it takes people like Ryan Jones, who built the building that brought Duncan and AT&T in, and it takes the people that invested in Center Pharmacy and helped it move downtown into the dialysis center, which those people built, and on we go, going around and looking at who built a house, who built a duplex, who brought a business in, who renovated an old building. Look what's going on at the Gables building right now.
Yeah.
Look at the obvious progress when you drive down Main Street. Look at what happened with Richland Family Restaurant. How many years was that shuttered? A long time, thriving because somebody came here and invested. And that's what this takes. So yes, you need your city to be engaged. Yes, you need your county to be engaged. You absolutely do. We cannot take our eye off the ball when it comes to economic development. But ultimately, that private investment, that decision to dig in and be part of the community and run a business here or build a home here, that's the answer. It takes that. So the city's role, as I see it, is to help foster that. But we can't get it done without the people who put their money and their labor up and say, I'm building that thing.
You mentioned Gables. Tony McCarville was in with us last month and talking about the new project her and her husband Brian are partaking in, but it looks like they've made progress in that.
Obviously, drive by, you can see it when you go by. Brian calls once in a while. I see Tony around town once in a while, and Brian will call me now and then, and they're very excited. I mean, they were chomping at the bit to get going. They've got a new business they want to bring in there, and I'm excited to see that. And then we'll be on down the list here. That's the third grant of its type while I've been mayor. So the Richland Locker got one, Los Amigos got one, and now the old Gables building, the McCarvels, they got one. We're working on the next one. I'll leave it at that right now. But we have a group that has come forward and is working with us to try to get it done to help another local establishment expand and move forward. And we're trying, man. We're doing it. We're doing things that hadn't been done here for a while. I'm proud of it, and we will not stop.
Los Amigos has expanded. I mean, they're going to be open soon, but they're going to have a lot more seating, it looks like.
Yeah, for sure. And an opportunity if you need a party room, that's what they did it for. Mm-hmm. So if you have an event, you do it right in the middle of the downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Perfect. What about, have you heard anything about the Richland campus? I know that's not necessarily a city thing, but close to it.
No, I mean, nothing that I can confirm. Well, I'll say this. I am going to commend both the Richland School District and the Richland County Board for their efforts to find solutions. What that will lead to, I don't know yet. I'm not on the county board, so there's information I'm not privy to. But I am privy to some information of some true collaborative effort, and the city, too, is involved in it. But I'm speaking right now of the school district and the county who have tried to find ways. And if you think about it, the high school's right next door. You know, for example, there's a gymnasium right there. I'll give you my 2 cents. It makes no sense at all to me for the school district to try to find money to build another gymnasium when there's one right down the hill. I'll say that much into a microphone. And, you know, if you were going to try to find a solution, it would probably take 2 willing parties. And hopefully, and according to what I've heard, we probably have 2 willing parties. So waiting to see and waiting to hear. The bridge is done out there. I've heard from Dave Turk, the county board chair, several times about possibilities out there, but I don't have a confirmation of any final answers that have been, or any final decisions that have been made.
Any mayor shout-outs you want to give this month?
You know, there are people who listen every time that I'm on the air, and I know that because I hear from them every time I'm on there. Hello, Tony Burke. I know you're out there. Come on, you're listening to this. Ken Renish, come on. Ken Renish picked on me all through childhood. He lived right next door. And, well, he's 4 years older than me. So, Hi, Ken. How have you been? Great to hear from you.
Good guy to have on your side.
Great, he is. Yeah, I wish he had been. It was different when I was 8. Anyway, no, Ken and I get along great. Hello, Bert and Maureen Kelsey. Take care of yourselves. Do your best. Call me anytime. And that goes to anybody that can hear me out there. Take care of yourselves and take care to other people. The whole thing of this community's history and its future, we talk a lot about grace. Well, I'm going to do it again. Crazy how well that's gone. I can't believe it. Where that's gone from its beginnings to now, and how many people in the community are involved in that thing, and how much money it raises is the headline, but how many lives it touches, and how many people do the work to put the event together, to raise the money, to donate things, all that goes with it. But that's not the point. The point is the help, what it really is doing for local families when they get the worst news from the doctor. It's amazing, and it hit my family hard this year with my mom's cancer. And Grace got a hold of me before I even knew she'd been diagnosed. I blew my mind with a message of support. They were offering some resources, but before they even did that, it was, hey, what can we do for you? Come and see us. It was about being a friend and a neighbor, because the people that contact them are going through a terrible ordeal, right? And they were great. So I want to commend everybody associated with Grace, everybody. If you gave money, if you donated an item, if you helped set up an event, but also if your family needed help and they were there for you, I want to commend you too for letting them help you and being part of this too, because you learned from it too and you grew from it. But now let's say this. That's not the only local organization helping people. The only thing I'm going to say is absolutely never any criticism of Grace. Thank goodness Grace is here and all the work they do. What I am going to say is don't forget the other charitable organizations. Don't forget the 501c3s. Don't forget the hospital volunteers and the people on the school board and the people in the Lions Club and Rotary Lights. There's mm-hmm. people standing there making sure that thing's ready every year.
United Givers.
Yeah. And on and on and on. And all of the mentors for the local kids and everything that so many groups and individuals are doing to help this community. Man, in a small town, we got to have it. And we get it. The people coaching youth soccer and any other sport, the people teaching the kid how to play a flute, whatever it is, to give opportunities. The people over at the senior center who are making sure those folks have options of things to do and places to go and friends to hang out and talk to. It's amazing, really, what Richland Center does for its people and from its people. I lived six other places between the time I left home at 19 and the time I came back at 48. I lived in six other places, three in Minnesota, three in Wisconsin, all fine communities, but none of them could match the community effort and the community sort of oneness that I see in Richland Center consistently, to the point that I fear some people don't see it anymore. They just ignore, they've absorbed it as fact. Never take for granted, if you're from this area in the city of Richland Center or in the surrounding area and you've grown up here or you moved in, you know, if you look for it, you'll find some very friendly people, outgoing and giving, and that if you need something, there's going to be a resource, and if you have the time, you can help somebody else, and you see examples all the time. Never take for granted that fabric of Richland Center and that very long legacy of helping ourselves from ourselves.
Yeah, just being a neighbor, that's what a lot of people do. Right?
No doubt about it, and I think we were all just raised that way, but I also think it comes from living an hour from a city and being in sort of rugged terrain sometimes and having to deal with all different weather and everything else that comes at you. You know, nobody does it alone in this world, nobody. I don't care who thinks you do, no, you don't. And to have people around that kind of grew up in that same place. Look at our volunteer firefighters. Look at the EMS service. I mean, these guys, believe me, nobody's doing that for the money. There's no glory. There should be. I mean, these are the people who might save your life someday, or maybe they already have, right? And they're not doing it to get on the news, and they're not doing it for a great big paycheck. They did it because we need them to, and they believe in it. I love that about this place.
No doubt. Well, you have had a few concerts to go to. I think you saw the Stones last year, didn't you?
I did, Rolling Stones down in Chicago, and we did a bicycle taxi ride down there, which was just unforgettable. Some Russian dude that took us through at 12:30 in the morning, right through downtown Chicago, rode right past a police crime scene, crossed the center line three times. Kim's hanging on to me, and we're rocking left to right, and we thought we were going to get hit like three times. He whips a U-turn in front of our hotel, jumps out, and goes, "How'd you like the ride?"
Well, you survived.
I know every Stone song by heart. That's my favorite band, and we had great seats, and I love that band. I don't care how old they get. That's my band. And we had a great time at the show, but I think I remember the bicycle cab guy more than any song they played that night.
I bet.
Wild.
Left an impression. But you're at a show this past weekend too, right?
Yeah, Billy Idol, Joan Jett down in Milwaukee. And it was a miscommunication between Phil Nee and myself. You know, Phil, he's a classic rocker just like me. I'm sure you've all heard him on the air with Those Were the Days. And he knows the music from the 70s and 80s era, you know, the Joan Jett, Billy Idol era so well. And he's my buddy. And I said, "Phil, would you like a concert shirt if I get you a T-shirt?" And he said, "Yeah, you know, just pick one out for me." Well, there were three to pick from, and I kind of misunderstood. There was the Billy Idol and the Joan Jett. Well, I just grabbed the next one, which was Dan's Stage Crew. So I got Phil a Dan's T-shirt. It's lovely.
Woo-hoo!
Yeah, it's got a nice little logo and black T-shirt there. It was cheaper than the other two. It should have been a tip to me.
Yeah.
But there,
yeah.
Phil, enjoy your Dan's Stage Crew shirt.
Thank you.
Yeah, anything for you.
Memento from the concert.
Anything for you, man. You bet. I'll close with this. I love doing the show because the people are listening and they're getting something out of it. And I hear it all the time. I have people who thank me for the information they get from this program and thank me for the transparency, for the fact that I come on here and try to actually inform the people of what their city government's been up to and why we're doing what we're doing. Because to me, that's really the point. Anybody can show up and vote yes or no, but the people that are worth keeping around are the ones that did the thought process, dug through, figured out what they really believe is in the best interest of the community, and that's the why. Why do you do this or why do you not? And that's what we're doing down there with real effort, trying to help everybody that we can, and people are telling me they hear it on the air. And I'm not saying that to promote myself. I'm saying that to first thank the era that of Fruit Broadcasting when Ron brought me down, and then when it was continued, when Civic Media bought the local stations here and kept the invitation open for me to come down, and Phil slid right into the seat over there and kept the same level of professionalism and has done a great job with it. And I just wanted to say, I know the people appreciate this program and what they're learning when we're down here together, Phil.
Well, we thank you for being our guest. The next time we talk, Todd, will be in October, and we'll be getting into homecoming week.
Yeah.
And maybe Henry Bray will have his first taco with a new Taco Bell by then.
Maybe he will. I don't know when they'll be done, but man, are they making progress over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. Have a great Labor Day.
Thank you.
Mayor Todd Coppernall from the City of Richland Center joining us on WRCO.